Good morning. I'd like to invite the young men, young ladies, anybody else above their age, if you're taking notes, I'm going to begin with a riddle. And at the end of the class, I'll give you the answer. You may figure it out before I get there. But here's the riddle. Every day, you can open two gifts and then open a third gift. I'll say that again so you can write it down if you need to, and it may occur to you what the answers are before the end of the class. Every day, you can open two gifts and then open a third gift. All right, put that aside now. Let me state again the theme of what we're doing in the morning sessions, spiritual disciplines, simple spiritual disciplines. It is this simple, something God has given us to do. And when done consistently, we develop over time strength and character and discipline for life. That's obviously good for us. It's good for the people around us, good for our families and marriages, local churches. It certainly glorifies God to have the spiritual discipline that He enables those in Christ to have. Spiritual discipline, something God has given us to do, and as we consistently do these things over time, we develop strength and character and discipline in life. Our subject today is discernment. I want to introduce that from 1 Thessalonians 5:21, a very simple phrase many of you will be familiar with already. The Apostle Paul to Christians in Thessalonica, these words: test everything, hold fast what is good. Test everything, hold fast what is good. Now, if I may express it like this, through exceedingly clear implication from the text, not everything we see and hear is good. We have to sort things out so we can hold fast only to what is good. And God enables us to do that through the regular good use of His Word. And to that observation, I will add something else very true today. You can't believe everything you see on social media, YouTube videos. Something looks like it is real. It must have happened because you can see it in graphic form before you. But have you ever heard of Photoshop? Not everything you see, read, or hear is true. So you have to sort that all out. And I repeat, God enables us to see how things differ. God enables us to see how things differ, and He does that through His written Word. We are able to read and learn and see how things differ. And what I'm going to call that this morning is the time that you turn on the microphone. I'm going to call it the discipline of discernment, using the Word of God. Still not on. I'm getting the red. Going to have a battery. All right. So not everything you see and hear is good. And that can be called, when we sort it out with the Word of God, the discipline of discernment. Using the Word of God to discern between right and wrong, correct and incorrect, truth and error. Hebrews 13:9 says, and we'll look at it closely later, do not be led away by divers and strange teachings. The discipline of discernment is critical to our spiritual survival, and we'll study that together this morning. First of all, let's consider false teaching and how false teaching can reach us. I'm interested to point out five ways false teaching can reach us. Listen carefully. False teaching can confront us through reading. Not reading this book, reading the writings of men who were not directly inspired of God. I'm not going to tell you, don't ever read anything except the Bible. I'm going to remind us that when we read the books and articles of uninspired men, those words could contain error or deception. We have full confidence in what the Holy Spirit gave the writers of the Bible. We do not have that same confidence when we're reading other books. So there must be the discipline of discernment. I'm an author, editor, and publisher. But I never think when I'm writing that what I write has the same authority as what is written here. I certainly want to take people here in the writing that I do. But what I write isn't the same as this. As a reader, it is your responsibility to know that and guard against error or deception in what you read. Much religious error has been spread through the printed page. And so it requires discernment on the part of the reader. And the point we're making in our study together today is that is a discipline one must develop and maintain along the way. Much religious error is spread through the printed page, and now we have to add through the digital page. The digital marketplace has given a great advantage to false teachers. It gives us an advantage as truth teachers, but it gives a great advantage also to false teachers. It has made it easier to spread error, thus enhancing the urgency of searching the Scriptures to make certain what we're reading is true or is it worthy of rejection. We can be tempted into something false through personal conversation or discussion. I haven't kept track, so I don't know how many times someone will call or email me and their first words will be, "I was talking to a friend at work today who told me that next week is the end of the world." Or, "I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said that baptism really isn't necessary." What's happening? The devil is using people. The devil certainly uses people who in ordinary conversation will say something that isn't biblical. Your responsibility kicks in here. Just as a reader, so also as a listener and participant in a conversation. Your caution and your discernment and discipline kicks in here to filter all of that actively with your knowledge of the Word of God in all the conversations and discussions that you find yourself involved in. Personal conversation is a means the devil can use to spread what isn't true. Now, it can also happen from pulpits. The fact that I'm standing up here and you are out there does not mean that you must automatically accept everything I say, or anyone who is here, or in the pulpit in the auditorium. I don't want you to do that. Ricky doesn't want you to do that. Please make certain that what I say is true this week, is according to Scripture. And every time a man stands before you, search the Scriptures. Practice discernment. Never let any preacher dictate your faith. Never tell people that you believe something because a preacher in the pulpit said it. Never leave out discernment as you evaluate what is proclaimed by preachers. So as a reader, as a participant in conversation, or as a member of an audience, know that false teaching can reach you. Several years ago, I think it must have been around 2007 or so, when I first signed up for Facebook, I thought, this is going to be great. I can connect with friends I haven't seen in years. I can share photographs with relatives. I can brag about my grandchildren. I can see how people are doing and know when I need to pray for someone. All kinds of good possibilities came to mind back then. And I still believe social media, like Facebook, can be applied for good purposes. But I have been so disappointed by how vulnerable and naive and ignorant people are. People read something or see something, and there is no filter or discernment. There is no checking of resources, no effort to open the Bible and see if something is right or wrong. It just looks good in that beautiful graphic, and it seems interesting, and it has to do with something I believe. And it may be dramatic in some sort of a sense, and so as soon as you see it, you hit that button. And there it goes. Just after a few seconds of thought, if that, it's gone. Which means if you didn't check it out, and if it is false teaching, you have shared it, and you have become a contributor and a distributor of it. And I'll say a lot more about that tonight. People are being deceived by error and led away from Bible truth, sometimes by 140 characters, by graphics that are beautifully done, that contain a phrase that at first sounds good, and there's no checking of sources, there's no consulting of God's Word, there's no discipline of discernment. False teaching can reach you as a reader, as a listener, as an audience member, and as a participant in social media, and false doctrine can come into your thinking through personal vulnerability. Here's what I mean. You have some weakness or some temptation, or there is something you really want to believe, you really want to do, though you suspect it may be wrong and you've been told it's wrong. Under pressure of your own vulnerability, you quickly embrace something that is not according to Scripture simply because it is attractive to you at the time. It pulls you in. It caters to something that you like and you want to do. And so humility and objectivity and the discipline of discernment is dismissed for just a moment. And into your heart comes something that's wrong, and that disrupts your relationship with God. This is not, by the way, an exhaustive list, but these are some of the primary ways Satan can get into your mind and into your life and gradually lead you from truth and the love for truth. Whether it is a TV evangelist, a social media participant, or conversations at work, or personal situational temptation, we need to fill our minds with Scripture and hear Bible preaching and teaching and review it and pray about it and apply it and study more and dig in and all of that, believing that God has given us ways and He's made us capable of having this marvelous discipline of discernment. So the imperative is directed to each of us. Test everything and hold fast what is good. All right, that's the first part of our study. In the next part, I want to read what Scripture says about the discipline of discernment. And while there will be some repetition in these passages we will go through, each passage will bring out a unique dimension of this responsibility of discernment. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. I want you to focus on one word. Beware. When you see that word beware, what do you know is coming? You know it is about some danger, some risk, some threat. In this case, a threat to your relationship with God. Jesus places responsibility on us to beware, and that involves watching and discerning, and he wants us to know false teachers don't look like false teachers. They may not sound like false teachers. They do not come into the building with a name tag. Hello, my name is Warren. I'm a false teacher. They will not introduce themselves as a false teacher. And false teachers can be handsome, personable, flattering, ingratiating, humorous. And they can sound like knowledge is just packed in every morsel of their brain. And they have a good reputation and they come across so charming. Jesus says, beware. Take what they say, open your Bible, and become a fruit inspector. This is one of the first warnings like this in the New Testament. We need to take it seriously. Galatians 1, 6 through 12. Galatians 1, 6 through 12. I am astonished, Paul said to the Galatians, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. There is something every Bible reader should see here right on the surface, right off the top of the page. Even if you don't know much about the historical background of Judaizers in Galatia, there's something you ought to see immediately. The very simple part of this is there is only one gospel for all. And it was delivered through the apostles of Christ. And we have it here. There is not a gospel for the Jew and another for the Gentile. There is not an American gospel, a European gospel, and an Asian gospel. There is not a black gospel and a white gospel. There is not a Baptist gospel and a Methodist gospel and a Catholic gospel. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul was astonished and grieved that some in the churches of Galatia had turned to a different message. Well, today, what will keep us from turning to a different gospel? The discipline of discernment received from God through His Word, accompanied by prayer, applied in life, reviewed until you die. That brings us to Acts 17:11. And you know this. No new information here. We've mentioned it already this week. Search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. And in the verse, this searching of Scriptures is marked as having noble character. It's what people of high character do. And this is why I say the discipline of discernment cannot take place if you don't learn to use this book. Read this book. Study this book. What we're doing now, what we do in Bible classes, what you do in your personal Bible reading is to build a defense and protection against error. We are engaged in the discipline of discernment that is essential to our spiritual welfare. I want to add, never hesitate to ask someone to open their Bible and prove what they want you to believe. That's noble and necessary. If the person teaching you is honest, they will submit quickly to your request to open the book and show you what they want you to believe. Hebrews 13:9, we mentioned earlier. Do not be led away by divers and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. I want you to notice, when you look at verse 9, what is stated in the previous verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I will stay with Christ, if I will abide in Him, if I will live in His teaching and love Him and imitate His example, I will have the stability and permanence necessary to practice the discipline of discernment the rest of my life. There are some kinds of false teaching which have some play with people for a time, sort of like a fad. And then it changes the next year, and there's another spin on it 2 years later or another generation later. A strange teaching that will come into prominence and then disappear or morph into something else. It reminds me of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 about people being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The promise of Hebrews is you remain focused on Christ, stay with Him, abide in Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With Him, we are strengthened by grace, nourished and benefited, and we are led into this discipline of discernment. 1 John 4:1-6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What we're talking about this morning is punctuated right here at the very end of this paragraph. Look at that phrase, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It will not be a great moment of enlightenment when I say to you, our society is rapidly moving away from the concept of absolute truth. Our secular society seems to be walking or running away from the foundational premise that there is absolute truth from God. So I'm pleased to tell you that they're wrong. There is absolute truth. But look at what John says. We are not most people. We are God's people. We not only believe in God, we believe He has communicated truth to us and that we are obligated and should consider it a blessing to adhere to that truth and measure everything by it. Everything we hear, read, and see. And that means, as John says in verse 1, we don't just believe anything people say or write or post or tweet. We understand the reality that many false prophets have gone out into the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. John says, we are from God. We listen to God, and we use His word to discern, to distinguish truth from error. A number of years ago, out in New Mexico, Tim Stevens converted a young man. Very intriguing story. You can ask Tim to tell you that story. That young man is now not really a young man. He's a gospel preacher in Baytown, Zeke Flores. Zeke illustrates how one can use Facebook to good purpose. And Zeke wrote this a few weeks ago. There is truth and there is error. Truth comes simply yet definitely. And it simply says, here I am, accept me or not. Error, on the other hand, comes disguised as something sweet and desirable, even when it's handled by people who are not. Too often, powerful men gain power by giving the people what they want, whether it's good for them or not. Beware of the purveyor of error. But more than that, beware his food. When you sit down to eat with the ruler, observe carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Proverbs 23, verses 1 to 3. Test everything. Hold fast what is good. In this series this week, I really want us to understand that God's people cannot live undisciplined lives. We cannot just bounce back and forth off the walls of events and impulses and let the world deceive us. God has given very simple, clear disciplines to keep us in fellowship with Him, to keep us safe and strong and effective as disciples of Christ, and to prepare us for a blessed eternity. So, test everything and hold fast what is good. You ready for the riddle? You remember it? Every day you can open two gifts and then you can open a third gift. Here's the answer. You can open your two eyes God gave you, and then you can open the book He gave you. Every day you can open your two eyes God gave you, and then with those two eyes you can open another gift, the word He gave you.